Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
About living an above-only life. What it means to live above-only. You know, the Bible calls us to live an above-only life. Now, can I say this to you, that life often presents us opportunities to live below, sometimes below only. But walking by faith, walking with God in these regards, guys, I'm telling you, when you walk by the grace of God, no matter what you face, no matter what you're seeing, no matter what you're looking at, no matter what you may have experienced, you have to walk in the faith of God, in the grace of God, and to take yourself to another level of trusting God because of His expected and intended will for you. Look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 13. Deuteronomy 28:13 says these words, "And the Lord will make you." Everyone say me. Guys, stop right and listen. Make it about you. Make what God says the truth about you, not someone else. You. Say, well, yeah, but you know, I've got some stuff in my life. If you know anybody that doesn't have some stuff in their life, you tell me about it. People are people. Say, well, you know, I have no issues in my life. Well, that's your issue. Okay? Trust me, the people around you have some issues with you. Yeah, well, we won't go there because I don't want to get any marriage troubles tonight, all right? So, "And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you shall be above only." We serve a victorious God. God has never gotten to a battle that He lost. God's never gotten to a battle that was a draw. He always triumphs. That's why the Bible tells us we always triumph in Him. Now, certainly we don't triumph of our own strength, our own abilities. My triumph is in Him. How many of you are grateful that He triumphed in His death, burial, and resurrection? And it belongs to you. It belongs to you. You've got to expect victory from God in your life. You've got to expect it. You've got to act upon it. You've got to trust Him. You've got to talk like you have an ever-present help in times of trouble. What people say tells you what they believe. How we talk about our lives, how we talk about our circumstances. We're either going to magnify what we've experienced or what someone said or what we see coming on the horizon, or we're going to magnify God. See, living by faith isn't a life of denial. It's not pretending you have no problems. Living by faith is looking at the impossibilities of life and saying, my God is more than enough. And I can walk and trust Him. And He'll put me over in life. And He said these words. He said, "And you shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, to which I command you today, and to be careful to observe them." And God was talking to them under the old covenant. He was expressing His will. See, people will read this and say, well, if you do everything God says that He ever told you to do, then and only then will God want to help you. That's not what He's talking about. He's trying to get across the principle that following me will not harm you. Following me is not a lesser life, it's a greater life. It's an above-only life. Why most people push away from serving God is because they think it's a life of doing without. They think it's a life of sacrifice. Yeah, there's some things you have to sacrifice. There's some things you have to say no to. That's being a disciple. But how many of you every morning of your life when you go to work say no to sleep? Anybody say no to sleep every morning? I don't know about y'all. My alarm goes off. Now, I actually wake up without it now, even when I don't have to. But they don't get up. And in fact, our youngest Alexa is going on a chorus trip where she has to be at the school. What time, Steve? 4:30 this morning. So my alarm will certainly go off. And my body will say, sleep. But the father in me, who is disciplined to be a father, will get up and get my daughter up and get her in a car and drive to the school. And then I will come back home. I will sleep. And then I will get up again. And now, here's the key. Yeah, there are things you have to say no to. But so many people think serving God is a life where it's hard. I've had people say that to me for years. Well, you know, brother, serving God, boy, that's a tough life. I'll tell you, man, that's a prayer I can hold out to the end. It's that mentality that keeps people away from walking with God in victory. He's trying to get across to them, guys, if you follow me and do what I tell you to do, it will cause you to be above only. It will cause you to be the head and not the tail. How many of you know the head is the better end? And yet so many Christians think that the tail is actually just part of the Christian life. Well, you know, I'm sure the Lord has a reason. So many things people say about God that aren't true. He wants you to live an above-only life. Well, you know, Pastor John, I'm sure that the Lord has a purpose in this. And it will be some horrific thing that happens in their life. We don't know why the Lord brought this, but there must be some reason. And God is accused of horrendous crimes. That somehow, in His mysterious mysteries, He brought this misery into your life so that it could teach you. That is absolutely, thoroughly unbiblical and unscriptural. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church, not problems. Well, you know, can we kick over a couple sacred cows? We're going to anyway. We might as well, look, they're grilling over there with the youth. How many of you smelled it coming in? Let's just cook those sacred cows. If I've heard it said once, I've heard it said 10,000 times. God's in control. Now, I know that sounds good. I know that's what people, it's a good religious thing to say. But it's not true. You say, well, no, God's in control. Then you're telling me that everything that happens, God foreordained it? So you're telling, can we bring it down to real life? How many of you had some things maybe yesterday that you could say, yeah, God wasn't in control of me there? Anybody? Is God in control of an adulterer? If everything that happens, God is in control, so when a husband, a man or a woman, they commit adultery and destroy their family and devastate their children, God was in control of that? Was God in control of those pitiful, sorrowful kids that blew the people up in Boston? God was in control of that? So now God's in cahoots with terrorists? No. God has chosen to give you and I a will to follow Him or to reject Him. And that free will is as lethal and as dangerous as it is glorious. God's not in control of everything. You say, well, if everything, Pastor, I believe everything that happens, God's in it. God had a plan. Now, God will take anything and make you above only in it. Life can be tough. He'll take you from the darkest, lowest place, and He'll lift you on high. But don't go blaming God for crazy stuff. He said, you follow me, I'll cause you to be above only and not beneath the head and not the tail. And He intends for a life of following Him to be a life where you're above. And religion has robbed us of this understanding. It has robbed us of this simple truth that God's heart toward man is kindness and love. And that any direction He gives me, any lordship that He brings into my life is the lordship of love and the lordship of kindness. Why is that so hard to believe when you're that way as a parent? Is it safe to say that your lordship over your children's lives is the lordship of love? That you've never given your children willful direction that would harm them? I know one time I asked my son to burn some boxes in the backyard. And what I didn't know is, I mean, these are cardboard boxes. My assumption was he'd go light them. Well, what he decided to do was to pour gasoline all over them. And he was probably 14, and it never crossed my mind he would do that. And he's pouring gasoline over it, and now he leans over, and he's got one of those little, you know, lighters that have the little end to it, and he's clicking it, and it won't work. And then he comes in the house, and I said, well, Ryan, I went down and the boxes are all still there, and I smell gas. This is hours and hours later. I said, honey, did you pour gas on that? He said, yeah, but I couldn't get at the light. I mean, there was a big old angel going, whew, whew. Thank you, God. I'm sure we're going to get to heaven and find out all kind of times. I'm pretty sure my angels are bruised. I don't know about y'all, but I would have never given him that instruction. Now, what if he'd have lit that and been could have been killed? And somebody that said, well, you know, his dad had a purpose in getting him blown up like that. Can you think of a more disgusting, evil thing to say about a parent? And yet people say it about God. They write books about it. He wants you to live an above-only life. He wants you to be the head and not the tail. So, yeah, but I've got some stuff in my life that, man, it's the tail. He said, but if you'll walk with me, if you'll trust me, learn to talk like you have an ever-present help in times of trouble. Learn to talk about God. Don't magnify your trouble. Magnify your God. The Bible says over and over again, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Make God large in your thinking. Make Him large in what you say. That don't mean run around and be odd around people and tell people, you know, spiritual things they don't understand. I don't mean that. But you can talk in such a way where you don't have to become like, you know, y'all know what I mean by that. You don't have to come into a situation and people that don't know Jesus, you're walking with Him and you don't look at them and say, my God is with me. Because they'll look at you and say, well, that's good. I don't want to be with you though. But you can talk in such a way like you expect your Father's present. We have a pseudo brother in our family, a lot of pseudo brothers among my four brothers that our family kind of, there were a bunch of kids my parents kind of raised, and or helped raise, I should say. They became a part of the fabric of our house. And the one is probably that was most like a brother was my youngest brother's friend. And it was my dad's best friend's son. But he was getting beat up at the playground. He was maybe 6th, 7th grade, and an 11th or 12th grader was beating on him, and just beating on him. And he'd go home, and he'd complain to his dad. Finally, his dad said, now I'm going to go down there with you. He said, and you're going to punch him right in the mouth, or you're going to deal with me, because we're going to put an end to this. Now, he's terrified of this kid. He's a junior, senior in high school. He's just a kid. But right over on the fence line, his father was there. And all of a sudden, in his father's presence, he changed. He went from being afraid of the guy to realizing, that's my father. And so sure enough, the guy started picking on him, didn't expect it. He just as calmly as he could, walked up to him and hit him as hard as he could in the face and dropped him. The kid finally after, wiped the blood off, he got up and he went after him, and then his father showed up and stopped it. Then he pointed to him later and he said, when your father's not around, I'll get you. But he had another, but my younger brother, not baby Jesus, the next one up, was in the same class as this kid, and he pulled him aside. He said, if you touch him, I will beat you like a dog. He's like my brother, so you touch him, you're touching me. And he didn't bother him anymore. It's amazing how you act differently when your father's there. When his presence is with you. And I want to encourage you to live life like you have an ever-present help in times of trouble. Live life above only and not beneath. Don't let your circumstances get so rooted into your heart and into your thinking that they govern your words, they govern your actions, they govern your pursuits, they govern your expectation. Begin to expect an ever-present help in times of trouble to show up for you. Begin to expect favor when everyone else is seeing none. And guys, we've all experienced this in our own lives where life can line up 50 deep against you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says this, for He raised us up from the dead along with Christ, and we are seated with Him in the heavenly realms. This is your position. All because we are one with Christ Jesus. And so God can always point to us as examples of the incredible wealth of His favor and kindness toward us, as shown in all that He has done for us through Christ Jesus. God said, I want to point to you as an example of my love and kindness. When you begin to understand that your Father loves you, He's for you, He's ever present, He's standing over by the fence, as it were, and the enemy He's already defeated in Christ, you act differently. And you know, we as a church are about to celebrate a really momentous accomplishment as a church. What you're about to step into on June 8th and June 9th does not happen typically in the Northeast. Now, I don't know how many, but to my knowledge, in all of the Northeast, churches that would be non-denominational such as this, there probably aren't five of those. So why'd God do that here? Let me tell you this. He's not just wanting to do it here. He's wanting to do it all over the place. But let me tell you why. Because there are a group of people that refuse to believe that God couldn't move above the Mason-Dixon line. That said, we're going to do what God called us to do. And every time we did it, circumstances would line up 20 deep. And we just kept believing God and kept believing God. And time and time again, I would have people come to me in different ways and different fashions to tell me why it was impossible. And I don't disagree with any of their assessments, because it was. But I remember the time when a guy in the township, a very good man, by the way, he was trying to do me a favor. Pulled me aside. He said, Pastor Nuzzo, he said, look, what you're trying to do up on that side of Cranberry is 10 years away from being able to be possible. It will take 10 years to sell the land that you, to finance. It's impossible. And I don't want your church and for you to get into a position to where you lose everything. And he really was, he was only trying to be kind. And so I said to him, I said, but I've got inside information. He said, you do? I said, oh yeah. I said, don't worry about it. It'll be fine. That land will sell so quickly. And the township's going to grow north. He said, oh, no, I mean, I know all the plans. I know everything that's going on. I know the people I can see where things are moving. No, it's not. It's moving down 228. I said, no, it's moving north. He said, well, how do you know that? I said, I've got inside information. He said, well, you know, it would be helpful if we knew these things, because we have to make plans. And I said, well, it's confidential. I said, but don't worry. I said, you watch. I said, that land that we have that we need to sell, it will sell. It'll sell quickly. We'll build. Stuff will build all around us. He said, you think so? I said, oh, no, I know so. And he was just convinced. He left telling people, township's moving north. See, now on what basis would I say that? The basis that my God said, come here. He said, build here. That's what we felt led to do. And I figured if God sent us here, he had enough sense to make it happen. How many think God never looked at anything and got surprised? Amen? If he'd do that with a building for us as a group, he'll do that for you personally. He'll show up in your personal life. He said, but I don't know how he'll do it. Aren't you glad you don't have to be God? How many of you have had God do things in your life, you look back, you think, I don't know how he even did that for me? Isn't that true? Set you free from stuff that's bound your family for generations. You were schooled in stupidity for 3-4 generations. And Jesus set you free from it. I mean, even stuff you started embracing stupid on your own. And he came in the middle of that and rescued you anyway. How many of you had Jesus rescue you out of some stupid? Oh, man, isn't he faithful? Well, is he faithful or isn't he? Will he be faithful tomorrow? Can you project by faith the faithfulness of God into your tomorrows? Then I want to encourage you tonight. Begin to talk like your God is faithful to you. Begin to talk like you have a God who wants to make you an example of the incredible wealth of his favor and his kindness. See, most of us in life have been conditioned to think serving God is a life of giving up, when in reality it's a life of moving up. It really is. It's a life of going places you never dreamed of. And I don't mean money and stuff, even though certainly God wants to help us and meet our needs in that area as well. But I'm talking about the stuff that matters. Relationships, your marriage, your kids, your grandkids. To believe God to show up in the midst of darkness. And no matter, and when everybody is giving up and pushing away and saying it's impossible, inside you just say, I've got inside information. My God won't. Yeah, but everyone else has given up on so-and-so. Jesus won't. And by the way, He won't give up on you either. Look here in Romans chapter 5, verse 17. It says, it's true that through the sin of one man, Adam, death began to rule because of that one man. But how much greater is the result of what was done by one man, Jesus Christ? Now listen. All who receive God's abundant grace and are freely made righteous. Everyone say freely.
Freely.
With Him, now listen, will rule in life through Christ. Everybody say rule in life.
Rule.
Do you know God made you to rule in life, to have dominion in life, to reign as a king and a priest before Him? Do you know God put it in the heart of every man and woman to have dominion? It's not wrong. God made you that way. And He said, when you walk in the abundance of His grace, He said, I'll cause you to reign or to rule in life. Instead of having life rain on you all the time, you get to reign over life and rule. Now, the Bible never gives you dominion over people. But He tells you this, in life, when you walk with Me, that abundant grace I give you will cause you to be able to be an overcomer. So when the storms of life come, you'll reign in that life and you'll experience the faithfulness of God. Because sometimes we feel, I don't know, let me look at Psalm 6. Have you ever felt this way, Psalm 6 and verse 6 and 7? I'm worn out from sobbing. Every night, tears drench my bed. My pillow is wet from weeping. My vision is blurred by grief. My eyes are worn out because of all of my enemies. See, the Bible doesn't deny reality. It doesn't deny that life can bring us to places where we feel that low, and it is that low. But that's why, again and again, David, the psalmist, where he would encourage himself. And as imperfect as David was, yet God was so faithful to him because he kept trusting Him and walking with Him. I want to encourage you not to give up your expectation of the goodness of God, the favor of God, the grace of God, and don't give up the life of faith. Expect God to show up. Expect Him. Talk like He's real. Don't worship your problems. Don't honor your problem. Don't bow your knee to everything you feel. Don't talk about it like it's so great. And don't magnify the devil. People talk about the devil like he's omnipresent. He's not. He can only be in one place at one time. He's not, you know, an evil. He's not God in the evil. He's an angel that's a fallen angel. And he's been defeated in Christ. That's why Galatians tells us in chapter 6, verse 9, so don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up. For we will reap a harvest of blessing in due season. Look, God doesn't settle up the second Saturday night of every month. Let me tell you, He's faithful when He settles up. And if there's anything I've learned about God, is that He's faithful. That He'll come into anyone's life who will let Him. If you'll walk with Him, if you'll just be consistent and not weary in well-doing, but continue in Him, continue in faith, continue in His grace. And if my wife and I have proven anything, it's that God's grace is abundant. For years, because people can make assumptions when God does something through a person's life, and the assumption they're making is usually just the opposite of the truth. Well, you must be the most spiritual person of this, or you must really always hear from God. No. What it is tapping in to the abundant grace of God, who does things in spite of you, in spite of me, because you just stay put. And when a thousand voices tell you to move, you say, no, I won't honor those voices. Said, but look at all the mistakes you made. Can't you look at that? Can't you see your deficiencies? Won't you honor your deficiencies? No. I'm not going to worship my deficiencies. I'm going to worship God. I can give you 1,000 reasons why. I can give you 10,000 reasons why there's no way in the world Michelle and I should have pastored this church and led it to this place. I can give you 10,000 reasons why that should have never happened. I can give you them today. But there's grace. There's ability that comes from a living God that will come into the middle of your inadequacy, the middle of your brokenness, the middle of whatever, and He will show up. And let me tell you, when He shows up, I don't care who comes against you. I don't care how smart they think they are or how much they know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many. There are 5 million devils from the pits of hell. Let me tell you, when God shows up and God moves in a person's life, He'll lift them out of a dung heap. He'll put you on a high place. He said, I'll set you on a rock. I'll set you on a high place. Why? Because you knew my name. In other words, what I'm going to know is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm not going to rehearse all of my inadequacies, all of the bad things that people have done to me and said. Look, I've had people lie about me. I mean, in ways that I just think, dear Jesus, I don't know, the devil could lie like that. I don't mean people to be upset because they didn't like something you did and maybe you didn't do it well and they had a point, because people have had a point, believe me. I mean, I'm not a perfect pastor. I can promise you that. But look, I have to deal with Steve Moore, so give me grace. But I mean lies. I mean ugly stuff. I mean stuff that you just think, man, I don't think the devil could come up with something that ugly and that untrue. You can magnify that stuff. You can say, poor old me. Or you could say, God's faithful. He's my rear guard. He's my reward. And trust Him. He's faithful. 10,000 times over, He's faithful. Let me close in Deuteronomy chapter 6. The last verse on the slide up there, guys. Deuteronomy 6:24. And the Lord our God commanded us to obey all these commands and to fear Him for our own prosperity and well-being, as now is the case. See, He said, when you honor me, when you follow me, you're doing it for your own well-being, not for God's. When you follow me, He said, I want to prosper you. I want to prosper. Guys, listen now. I don't mean that in a theoretical sense or a theological sense. In real life, in real time, on a Wednesday night, with, thank God, with beautiful weather, how many of you are so grateful to know that our God wants to prosper every area of your life and to bring you into a place of well-being in every arena of your life? How many of you are expecting to experience that from God? Well, praise God. Let's thank Him for it. Amen. Father, thank You. Now, Father, I thank You for these truths that are so in Your Word. I thank You that we can walk by faith in these regards, that nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible with You. And so, Lord, we thank You for that. We worship You in it. And we magnify Your presence, Lord, in Jesus' name. As heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here tonight and you've never given your life to Christ, I want to make certain that you have that opportunity. With heads bowed, eyes closed, if you've never given your life to the One who gave His life for you, I want to pray for you, and I'll do it right where you're seated. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Right where you're seated, you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to invite Christ in my heart. I've never done that. I'm not sure. And I want to know that I'm heaven bound. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray the prayer out loud together with you right where you are seated. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Lift your hand high right now and I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Do it right now. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Anyone else say, thank you. God bless you. Say, I've not yet raised my hand, but include me as well. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just help me and lift it high so I can see it, and then we'll pray. If you raised your hand or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. Christ will come into your heart. He will never leave you, never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to You in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. In Jesus, I invite You in. I receive You now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank You for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound, and I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give them a hand, would you?
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.